We're celebrating Sunday the way you're supposed to, with meat, in Plant City. I mean, that to me is paradise.
Meat in any city is paradise.
I agree. It's that, you know, the voice, that's the voice of the pulse of 102.5 The Bone.
Of the meat.
Of a pulse of meat. And the pulse of the Tampa Bay area, Mr. Mike Calta. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm a little flummoxed.
Why? What did you do?
I know, dude. You know I'm a pretty easygoing guy.
Right?
I flow easy.
I don't see you get flummoxed very
often.
No,
I don't. I really don't.
What happened?
I have two phobias, okay? One is being late, and the other one is heights. Okay, so I can't go over the Skyway. Like, I won't go. I don't want to go over the Skyway.
Really? Because I was that way, and then after time, it just disappeared.
I don't want to. Last time I went up there, the last two times, I whatever was happening with me at the time has to constitute an anxiety attack. Because I just didn't want to be up. Like, I was thinking of pulling over.
I didn't want
to be up there, and I'm thinking, I can go around. So why would I want to go over there anymore?
Do you go on any roller coasters?
I like roller coasters.
See, that's weird, because I don't like roller coasters, but I can take that Skyway.
But I won't do a Ferris wheel. Because it's going too slow. You know what I mean? So I like things that move fast, and I'm all good with that.
Okay. So why don't you just gun it over the Skyway?
I don't like the Skyway. It's giving me the willies, period. So the other one is
being
late. Okay, so I'm heading over to Smokin' Ace. I've been to Smokin' Aces a dozen times at least. So I usually put in my GPS, but today I didn't. I've been there so many times. As I'm driving down I-4, I'm concentrating on the show and things I'm going to be talking about. So I'm not really looking at the exits.
Right.
So finally I'm driving and I'm thinking, I feel like I've driven too far.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I look at I look at my maps and the map says 13 minutes. And I go, okay, I'm 13 miles away.
Right.
So I keep on driving 13 more miles and I realize.
Oh, you went way past it.
Yeah, dude. I was at like exit 55.
We're so different because I'm not great with, I'm pretty good with directions, but I know it's exit 22 because it's across the street from Stingray.
Well, you're here.
So it's in my head.
Yes, yes.
So I'm driving here, and on the way here, my son and I were doing dueling songs on the radio. We were
dueling songs.
We were watching videos on YouTube.
Okay.
We were doing about everything you shouldn't do while you drive, and still made it here at exactly.
How do you do dueling songs?
We both plugged in the Stingray. I'm driving a truck from Stingray that has CarPlay.
Okay.
So when you plug in, it gives you a lot of the apps and stuff from your phone on the digital. So we both plugged in, so the car recognized that there's two phones now. So we were just going back and forth.
So you play a song, he plays a song?
Pretty much,
okay.
Yeah. Except he's got good taste, and where is he? There he is.
What's he playing, Drake?
No. He's got good taste. He was listening to Death of a Bachelor from Panic at the Disco, and then I went over to Pearl Jam, then went back to him, and he was playing a little bit of Ronnie D and the Superstars.
Really?
Like, he knows some good stuff.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's not into the young music, which is,
is
good.
No, he likes that. That new Train song. He knows all. If I put a song on, I go, all right, this is a pretty good song. He knows all the words.
But he's a rock and roll kid.
He likes everything. He likes everything. No, he's got a good list of faggy songs.
And that's good.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
So do you actually go to the record store and look for faggy songs as a genre?
I know, but I should make a faggy song Spotify playlist, because this guy will get down with some. I have driven over the Howard Franklin Bridge singing Against All Odds. Violently.
No, I understand
that. Yeah, yeah.
And I love the Dove. I was listening to it all the way up and down. So as I was going through my anxiety attack, the Dove was soothing me.
Sure.
It was nice, and I was
brings
nice
you down
and
a little bit.
And I actually texted you on the way here, and I said, come up with a list of your top three slow songs.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know about you, but growing up, I used to make slow jam cassettes.
Yes,
that was my thing.
I didn't do that.
Like, I had slow jam one, slow jam whatever. And I used to give them to my wife, and now my wife knows all the songs I grew up to.
Right.
She really wouldn't have been exposed to a lot of that stuff, you know?
When I used to date a girl that went to USF, and her roommate used to make those jam cassettes. And she used to take a screwdriver and take the cassette apart and put a picture inside the cassette and then close it. So she'd really customize the cassette. And she gave me a pink cassette.
Oh, nice.
And it had some great slow jams on there that I never would have listened to before, and I love them. Like one slow Fleetwood Mac song that everybody covers, Landslide.
I'd
never even heard that song until she gave it to me. So yeah, that was the move back in the day.
See, and I had my buddy that lived in New Jersey when I got to junior college in '86. He pretty much said, "Hey, bro, this is what they're playing on the streets. This is what they're playing on the radio," and he gave me a cassette.
Yeah.
And I remember having this cassette, and it was like gold, okay? Because I didn't have the stuff to dub and all that
stuff.
But
it wasn't slow jams, was it?
No, but it's the stuff at 86 that they were playing, or 85 they were playing on the radio.
Eric B.
So it was Eric B. and Rakim. It was EPMD. It was Boogie Down Productions. It was Public Enemy and LL Cool J. And then, so when it came out, I already heard it.
Right.
So I was like the man. I was like, I already know this song.
I felt proud of being ahead of the time with Public Enemy. I was a Public Enemy fan when people were getting, like my grandfather wouldn't let me listen to it in the house. But I'm talking about not just Bring the Noise, but my Uzi Weighs a Ton.
Sure,
that
kind of,
I love that.
Well, I was watching this thing with Public Enemy the other day, and I sat and watched it. And I understand why black people like Public Enemy.
Yeah, so do I.
But if you really watch it, their whole mission is to make white people mad. If you really watch what Public Enemy's doing.
I'll tell you what. There's a part of me that agreed with that. But then when they dropped that whole Elvis never meant nothing to me line, and I was like, I get it now. You know, I get it.
They're not spewing garbage.
Right. But and 911 is a joke. I grew up in those neighborhoods, so I know 911 is a joke, you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't nearly as bad as where they live. So I got it. Sure. I didn't go. In the beginning, I thought, wow, they just hate white people. And then I thought, no, they've just been treated differently.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think a lot of people want to judge growing up just where you grew up. Like, a lot of people aren't exposed to anything. Like, a South Tampa kid, what the hell are they exposed to?
Right.
Like, I've lived here. I've never seen violence anywhere.
Right,
you can
go
anywhere. It's not a big deal. I've been in the Caprini Greens. That's not the same. So if you grow up there or in South Tampa, you take the same person and switch.
Yeah.
They're going to be completely different people.
That's why I see sometimes people from New York move here and they move to, like, Holiday, and they're like, oh, this is paradise. And I'm like, ew, you're living Holiday, you know? And I'm like, but I get it, though, compared to where you came from. Now you're living in a nice little house on a lake with the sun. And I get it.
And, you know, you have a wonderful young kid. Seems very talented, and he's got a creative mind.
Yeah.
But he's just not going to grow up like you did.
No.
And you know
by
who
design.
Else? By design. But listen, and you didn't grow up like your dad did.
Nope.
Your dad's harder than you.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
Would you just if you said, hey, is your dad harder than you? Yep. My dad is, I'm conceding.
Yes.
He was harder than me.
Right. And then my great-grandfather, not my dad's father, but my great-grandfather, I grew up with him. And I just disliked him. And now I realize I missed out. He was cool. I just didn't get it, you know?
Well, if you keep on going back to generations, they play less.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? Like, my father didn't play.
Right.
Like, I couldn't. And then I used to hear stories. Like, he grew up in Trinidad, okay? And he quit school in fourth grade to take care of his family.
Yeah.
He worked. That's all he did. He didn't know anything else, okay? So, you know, his situation when he grew up, he was just hardened really, really. Really, when you're, you know, 10 years old and you're going to work and you're working 9 to 5 every day.
Right.
And then they say if you mess up in school, you walk down the street and every one of your relatives will whoop, we're going to whoop your ass. So you see how different it is now?
Yeah, yeah. Also, though, I think it kind of makes, it works a little in reverse. It made me a little soft. Like yesterday, we went to Toys R Us. And he wanted this. We were going there to spend like $15 on an action figure.
Man, good luck with that.
Yeah, well, but we ended up spending $80 on a giant plastic wrestling ring. And that's the soft part of me. Because, it hardened me up. I wanted to go, you kidding me? I would never have this stuff when I was a kid. And then I went, all right, just get it, you know?
There's a lot of things you wouldn't have had. Like, you wouldn't have had gear that matched.
No, I didn't have gear that matched.
And
I got those shirts like from I got an Atlanta Falcons won the Super Bowl.
Were you always big?
From last year. I was always chubby, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So growing up I was a big kid.
Right.
Okay, like nobody was bigger. Right. Seriously, like nobody had bigger legs. So when it came to wearing fly gear.
Yeah, I know. You're wearing Husker pants.
Dude.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom used to get whatever jeans fit. And, you know, back in the day, you see kids with skinny jeans now.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to have skinny jeans when you got size 48 legs and skinny jeans don't actually exist.
Yeah,
you know?
You want to hear a great story? Everybody was wearing Jordache jeans.
I never came close to any kind of, nor would I wear them.
I came close.
You wanted to wear Jordache?
Yeah, because everybody was. But keep in mind, I grew up in New York, and it was like a whole disco thing, and everybody was wearing them. But I was too much of a little fat kid to wear Jordache jeans, so my grandmother took a pair of Levi's, and she sewed on Jordache tags on them, so I had fake Jordache jeans.
That's a sad story.
Yeah, I know.
And everybody knew those were like bootleg Jordache jeans.
I wore them once, and then I realized.
That was it.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. My mom was, she was a wizard with needles. Oh, she could do anything. Like, she could change anything. So, like, I had these big old thighs, so when I would run and play and stuff, I'd wear out my thighs and my jeans.
Yeah, you burn right
through. So she would just patch them up.
Yeah.
It just looked so terrible. Right. You know, I got
patches,
I had
patches, the same thing, a different color patch in the middle of it. I get you.
And then in my basketball, I was on a basketball team my junior and senior year, and, you know, I'm not built like a basketball player.
Right.
So, you know, we had these sweet pull-off, you know, pants that used to zip off when it had the Velcro on the side. Not Ian. Ian's mom had to put in the side panels on her on his, and then Ian had to take them off over his shoes.
Good rhythm.
So
you couldn't rip them.
Yeah, so it was kind of hard to. That's it was hard hilarious. For me to just blend in. By the way.
Yeah, yeah, but that, you know what? That's when I wasn't a bully, but I slapped a couple of kids, and that's why. Don't try making fun of me, my husky pants. Mm-hmm. I'll kick you right in the teeth.
I heard you saying stories about slapping the other day,
yeah.
And I wholeheartedly agree with you.
That's it.
Being slapped like a man, like you slap somebody like a man, that's the worst thing. I had one situation I remember way back when. I used to go on these ski trips with my boys. My boys were skiers, and
right.
They're like, "Hey, why don't you come with us?" So one year I was on like this ski club, and every Sunday you're going on a
yeah,
ski
yeah,
trip.
Yeah.
So I'm on the bus, and there was a bunch of different people, French guys over here, blah, blah, blah. So I go into the bathroom, and these French guys put their feet up against the bathroom door so I couldn't get out.
Oh.
So I'm sitting in the bus, and the bus is moving, and they kept me in there for like 10 minutes, okay? And I don't think I said a word the whole time.
10 building
okay,
up
so, and I could see them push. So finally, I came out, and I saw the guy that was pushing his legs up, and I walked up to him, and I cocked it from Albuquerque. And I couldn't slap. I'm surprised I didn't slap his teeth out.
Right, right.
I slapped the crap out this douche. Whap!
Yeah.
And there was about 10 other French dudes looking at me. I go, anybody else want one? And I go, you moving? This is no sir. And that was my French accent.
Yeah, yeah, that was good.
No, sir. I said, I didn't think so.
Uh-huh.
Like, but because I'm just, I would rather die than to be that guy.
Absolutely.
I'd rather be dead.
You can defuse an escalating situation with a slap. Because
yes.
If you slap a guy, all reality sets in and he goes, yeah. I don't want to do that again. And the fight just
But I
stops.
Have to die. If somebody slaps me,
it would be
I
the
have
end.
To die. One of us have to die.
Yeah, it would be
That's
the end.
It.
I could not see a situation where a guy would slap me and I would not attack. I mean, even if I had to get my bearings and then attack him, I would do that.
I would never sleep again.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I know that I'm going to, this man just hit me really hard and it hurt. And now I'm going to try and beat him up and he's going to kill me. But I'd rather die than have to sit in bed at night going, why didn't I hit that guy back?
So, I mean, do you think you're parenting close to the way your father did?
Well, no, my dad really wasn't around much when I was younger.
No, it was my mom.
My parents got divorced when I was really young. And thank God I'm parenting completely opposite of my mother.
Okay. When were they divorced? What age?
I was probably like four or five.
Mine were probably about six, seven.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Very, very similar. And now that I'm older and a little wiser, I look back and I'm putting things together. You ever put things together?
Oh, yeah.
And
it like, happens I'm, all like, during your life. You like,
I'm
oh.
putting things together. I'm like, my dad was sleeping with everybody. I was like, my pops was sleeping with everybody.
Yeah.
And that was kind of coming together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or that one aunt that you had. I used to go to my uncle's house every Christmas, and you had that one aunt that would get sick every Christmas. And like, oh, I had a bad piece of something. You're drunk. But
yeah.
I didn't know that when I was 5 years
oh,
old
yeah.
or 6 years old. But every year that aunt was had to throw up.
Yep, yep. I think about that now. A lot of stuff with my dad. Like my dad has this like railroad scar in his
okay.
hand, and he was a prison guard. And all the years, he told me that he fell. He was carrying groceries upstairs, and he fell, and he had to have surgery. And I was like, oh, poor guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know that the truth is he punched a guy at work. You know, in work he was working, and that's when he broke the bone.
Why doesn't he tell people that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm so quick to tell people how tough I am, and my father likes to hide it. And the truth is, he's way tougher.
I think you don't always go out and you know flex yourself.
No.
But the ones that are like you're saying, your father's considerably tougher than you.
Yes.
The ones that are that tough, they don't say nothing.
No.
Like my dad didn't have to say a word.
Yeah.
Like you just knew, that's a serious man.
Those are the ones you're afraid of.
And he never hit anybody. But he was just terrifying.
Yeah.
And if he put his hand on you, he was been a carpenter since he was like 8.
Right.
He's going to break your skin.
Yeah.
Like he had that rough hand. You know you don't want him to hit you.